Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you on this Monday, May the 3rd, 2021. First program in the month of May for us. First Monday in the month of May, 15 and a half minutes past the hour here. A rainy, rainy Monday morning. Now, it's my understanding that the old phrase goes, April showers will bring May flowers. Well, apparently, April showers will bring May showers, is what we saw this past weekend. But, you know, you take the good with the bad, and the beginning of May is probably going to be a little rainy, and hopefully by the time we get to Mother's Day, which I believe is this coming Sunday, and Memorial Day, which I believe falls very late in the month this year. It's always, of course, the last Monday in Memorial Day, or last Monday in May, but this year I believe it comes very, very late. I don't have a calendar in front of me, but I believe it comes late. Now see, as I glance over to the atomic clock, which I don't think anybody has messed with since Friday. Now last Friday, the atomic clock was working fine. Now I look at the atomic clock, it reads 4:52 p.m. and it says it's January 19th, 2018, which apparently was a Friday. Now why it's not set again, we have no idea. What happens over the weekend around here, we have no idea. That is the strangest thing, because last week it was pretty well set, I think every day, and now it's gone haywire again. Does anybody have any explanation for this at all? I know some of you have atomic clocks, but this is odd, because I'm not sure. The atomic clock, if you don't have an atomic clock, it gets a signal that sets it with the atomic time, the correct time to the second. And I'm not sure where that comes from, but I know that's what it does. And it does work. So what I don't get is if it's not picking up the signal, why does it completely change times and change dates? If it loses the signal, I would think it would stay on the same time. But the time changes, and the date changes. So is it picking up the wrong atomic signal? Or is there another signal that is interfering with it? Because I would think if it was losing battery, it doesn't say it's losing battery, or something like that, that it wouldn't be so off. It's very strange. Has anybody ever had this problem with an atomic clock, or even understand what I'm talking about on this rainy day? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. All the problems we have as we kick off this week here. First week in the month of May. Can you believe that? Here we are in the month of May. May is probably by and large one of my favorite months of the year, because it really does start to get warm, but it's not obnoxiously warm. It's not that kind of warm where you have to stay in the air condition all the time. It's just kind of a breezy warm, and you can still go outside and do things, and you can have the car windows down, and you know, you do have Mother's Day, and you have Memorial Day, which is usually the official kickoff of summer, even though we're not in summer yet when Memorial Day happens. A lot of graduation parties happen in May, a lot of, well, the kids get out of school in May, a lot of pools start to open in May. May is just a good month of the year. I always enjoy the month of May. June's not bad either, but May is probably particularly my favorite month. Also in May, you see a lot of things start to bloom that have not bloomed in April yet. Does anybody know anything about the farmers this year? Because I have a big field across from where I live, and I've lived there now for about, I've lived there over 6 years now. And it seems to me, now maybe I've just got the timing wrong on this, but it seems to me that they usually plant fairly early, like in April-ish, and then they go out and they take the stuff off, like June. I don't see anything planted at all, or at least I haven't seen them out there planting. I don't know, are things different this year when it comes to agriculture? Because that's a subject I don't know a whole lot about. But it just seems to me like here we are on May the 3rd, like things should have been planted already. And I don't think anything's been planted over there. And it seems to me it's either June, late June, that they go and they get the stuff. Because they bring the big combines in, and sometimes they're out there at night with the lights on the combines taking everything in. But it does not look to me like anything has been planted. Now, maybe it has, maybe it hasn't, I don't know. Does anybody know anything about the world of agriculture or atomic clocks that they can share with us this morning? 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz. I would love to hear from you. I was watching an interesting show last night. It was only about a 20-minute program, and I don't know why I stayed on this. But I thought it was an interesting subject. Maybe a more interesting subject than the people who were discussing it. But it was Tom Brokaw, you all remember him, he was the nightly news anchor on NBC, and his daughter, who's a doctor. I didn't know his daughter was a doctor. So they're having this conversation. Now the conversation is about, have people got in place their final wishes? And I'm not talking about a will. I'm not talking about who gets what and who's going to plan your funeral. I'm not talking about that at all. What they were talking about was the medical part of it, when you're still alive. And the numbers on this, I thought, were amazing, of people who do not have what they call a living will. Do they want to be resuscitated? Do they not want to be resuscitated? When do you want to be resuscitated? Do you want extraordinary measures done to bring you back if you have an illness? All kinds of stuff like this. How do you want to live? It was really kind of a fascinating conversation. It was only about 18 minutes long, but what was fascinating to me was something that was said that I wanted to pass along with you, my friends here on the radio, is that Tom Brokaw's daughter, who's a doctor, brought up the fact that most living wills, medical parts of the will, are drawn up by lawyers, that people go to their lawyers to draw up their living wills. Now, this is probably because, for the most part, people go to their lawyers to say, you know, you get this, you get that, you get this, this is my power of attorney. But when it comes to the medical part of it, you know, what do you want to live with, what do you not want to live with, they leave that up to the lawyer as well, which is really kind of strange when you think about it. I forgot what she said, but it was like 12 or 13% of people go to their doctors for their living will. It was a very low number. When really, that's the person you should be going to, because they are going to be the person who's around you as you get older, as you might develop these problems. And it was also amazing, the people who do not have living wills. And basically the thrust of it was, everybody should have a living will, because you never know when a big illness could come along and you know, you want people to know how to handle your problems That way it's not left up to your family, because when you leave it up to your family, sometimes, most of the time, there can be fights. Because usually two people don't want the same thing. And if you can no longer make your own decisions, that becomes a big issue. So you kind of have to speak for yourself before that moment comes. Then there's no question about what will happen, what you want to live with, what you want done. And I just found this very fascinating, that most people go to a lawyer. And Tom Brokaw's daughter told this story, which I thought was interesting, was that apparently one of her patients was a big outdoors person, you know, was a big hiker. She loved to hike. And when she originally put her directive into place, she said that if she could not hike, that was important to her. That if something happened where she was no longer able to hike, that she would not want to go on. Well, I guess she suffered a few strokes. And, you know, she was still in her mind, but her doctor decided to go back and revisit this directive, Tom Brokaw's daughter. So she goes back and she revisits it with the lady, and she says, now I just want to make sure that this is still what you want. Well, now the lady, who's confined to a wheelchair, says that the only thing that's really important to her is being able to converse with her family, and it's no longer about hiking. As long as she's mentally there and she can still converse with her family, she's fine. So, also another lesson to learn is what we might think of as our plan for the rest of our life is not always the plan for the rest of our life. It might change as time goes on, so you can't make one of these things out when you're a certain age and then never go back and revisit it. I don't know. I just think it's interesting. Give me a buzz. Does anybody have any thoughts on this? I think it's a fascinating subject. You know, and it really doesn't have to do a whole lot with death, to be honest with you. It's more about what is quality of life. And that was another thing she talked about. How people use these terms like quality of life, but they really never define what quality of life is to them. And it's different for everybody. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, do you have one of these in place? Have you defined it out very specifically? Have you done it with your doctor, or have you done it with a lawyer? Have you been in a position where somebody became ill and they did not have one and that caused a problem? Or have you been in a position where somebody did have one and it made things a whole lot easier? I think it's an interesting subject, and it came off this 18 to 20 minute conversation last night with Tom Brokaw and his wife, and you really do think about that. You really think, what is quality of life? Because that is a very broad term. What does that mean? Because to one person, it might mean something totally different to another person. So does anybody have any thoughts on this, the atomic clock, or anything else out there this morning in Radio Land? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz. I would love to hear from you. It's always interesting hearing from you, the listening audience. As I've always said, I learn more from you, the listening audience, than you could ever learn from me. Because a lot of people have been in these positions. And when you hear firsthand knowledge, that's always much more important than anything I could say from something I have seen. I did watch something else last night, too, I was going to talk about. Now, just because we seem to be in this type of world now, that everybody's got an opinion, when it comes to politics. We all, apparently we're all 24/7 politics nonstop. Now, I don't know when this became the case, but it certainly is the case. Now, here's what I was paying attention to last night, and I thought this was interesting. And you've heard this for years and years and years and years, and it's been going on for a long time. There is this idea that the media has a liberal bias. And when people say that, what they mean is that the media is Democrat. The media is for the Democrats. That's essentially what they're saying. That the media does not like the conservatives, does not like the Republicans, and that saying's been going on. It started really in the 60s, but it goes on till today, that the media is for Democrats. Liberal media is the term that's come about. Well, I have to tell you, I have been a few places, and I've interviewed a few people, and I've worked at a couple different, maybe three, four different radio stations, a television station, and nobody ever came to me, ever, and said, report this story this way, or do this, or do that. And I've asked a lot of people who were national figures the same thing. Has anybody ever came and done that? And they've all said no. Now, here's where I think this comes from. And you can have a different opinion on this, but this is what I was watching last night. That there have been all kinds of studies done, because people will cite these studies, that the media is liberal, by and large. But have there ever been any studies done on the bias of the listener, of the audience, of the television viewer? Because when you think about it, let's say I came on here this morning and did a positive story. But who's somebody in the news right now? Joe Biden. Okay, the president. Let's say I came on here and I did a positive story on Joe Biden. Well, everybody would say, if you were a Republican, if you had a bias toward the Republican side, you would say, well, there he goes. That liberal Democratic media, there they go. But if you were a Democrat, you would say, well, he's being fair. Now, conversely, if I came on and I did a negative story on Joe Biden, the Republican would say, right on, that's good news. And the Democrat would say, well, you're biased. You're biased toward to the Republican side. You've become a Republican. So I think it's more, I really don't believe it has anything to do with the news reporter, unless they're doing editorials. If you're doing editorials and just giving your opinion, well, you probably do have a bias. But if you really are just reporting the news, I don't think the media does have a bias. I think that people listening and watching do have a bias one way or another. They like some people, they dislike others. And I guess it's just human nature. If you like somebody and the story is favorable, well, you're probably going to like the person giving you that news. If you like somebody and the story is negative, you're probably going to dislike them. So, news is news. If the story is negative, it's unfortunate, but it is a negative story. You can't come in and misstate the story, because then they would just say you're a liar. That's where the media is in a true conundrum, to be honest. Because if the story is negative, I'll give you a negative story. Like last week, the federal agents searching Rudy Giuliani's apartment. That's a negative story. Now, if I would have come on and reported that just as it was, that federal agents searched Rudy Giuliani's apartment, you'd say, well, You know, he's being a Democrat, he's being liberal. But if I came on and changed the story, you would say, well, he's telling a lie. That's not what happened. We've all seen what happened. And that's also the quickness of news today. You know, you can get your news everywhere, but you've got to look at it through a different prism. You've really got to take all the carrots and the potatoes and onions. You really got to take all that out and just see if you can find the roast, the pot roast. You got to get rid of all that stuff you put in there. Got to get rid of the potatoes. Got to get rid of the carrots. Got to get rid of the onions. And you just got to find the pot roast, the actual news in it. And I'll tell you a good way to do this. If you go through a news story on the internet, take out all the adjectives. Just anything that has an adjective in it, take it out. And then you'll pretty much have what the story is. So that was another thing I watched last night that I found interesting. Any thoughts on this? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. All right, a lot of interesting topics on the table here this morning, and we'll see if anybody has any opinions on any of them. This idea that for years the media has been liberal, this idea of what do you want at the end of your life, care-wise, and do you have it spelled out for your family? That's an interesting topic to me. And our long fight with the atomic clock here in the studio. Those are the subjects this morning. 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz, and we can discuss any of these things you would like, or anything else going on. You know, the downtown parking has become and continues to be a big issue. Now, I was downtown on Friday night, and I saw this parking. And, you know, I don't know if it's really going to cause as big a stir as maybe people thought. I do know that giving Main Street a turn lane at Center is throwing a lot of people. But other than that, I really don't know if it'll cause a big problem. I certainly don't think it'll be huge. You know, people will adapt. And it's nice to see that people downtown, or whoever came up with this, is trying to do something. Now, also, did anybody notice this? I was over, I guess it was Friday night, drove down Center Street. Did you see that the street next to the Harding Hotel is all blocked off again? Now, this might have changed since Friday night, but all of a sudden, the whole street's blocked off again, or it was on Friday night. Now, there for a while, I believe it was the northbound lane was open. But now, it looks like the whole thing is closed again. Does anybody know anything about this? Or has anybody looked at this? Because we had the mayor on last week, and he had said that the northbound lane was open. And I think a lot of people had called in and said that the northbound lane was open. But at Friday night, it looked like that whole cyclone fence was stretched again along the whole street there. So I don't know. And again, the machinery was all out there, and it looked as if nobody was doing anything. Now again, it was after 5 o'clock on a Friday, so there probably wasn't anybody doing anything. But is anybody paying attention to all this work being done next to the Harding Hotel? I mean, we certainly don't want bricks to fall off and hit anybody in the head, but boy, this has been a long-term thing. A project, I guess, there next to the Harding Hotel. And now, as we have on our news today, apparently Aqua is going to be doing some work, getting rid of some old water mains. Does anybody know what originally caused the water main problems here in Marion, especially on the south side? Now, I was told a long time ago that they all were connected, and that's why the basements over here on the south side all flood. And if you live on the south side of town and you have a basement, I bet your basement floods, or you have a sump pump. And sometimes it even overpowers the sump pump. Now, has anybody found that? Somebody told me that when they were laying the plumbing for this area, that everybody's sewer was connected, or everybody's water mains were connected. I can't remember what that was. But everything was allegedly connected, and that's what caused all these backups in people's basement on the south end of town over here. Because the basements flood an awful lot. And especially when you have a lot of rain, of course. But I don't know. Any people live over on the south end of town and have a lot of problems with their basement? Or have you ever been given a reason as to why the basements flood so bad? You know, I have known people who owned businesses over in this side of town. I have known people who have put family rooms in their basements, kids' bedrooms in their basements, and here will come the flood. And they were told that these basements would never flood. Or they would have a good sump pump down there, and it could not keep up with the water. And then all of a sudden, the basement would flood, the business would flood, the family room would flood, and of course all that furniture and all that paperwork and all that stuff that's down in the basement gets all messy and dirty and disgusting, and you have to toss it out. Now, also on the south end of town, most people's washer and dryer are in the basement. And a lot of times those get destroyed. I know there was a big rain probably 6 or 7 years ago that really flooded these basements more than they were normally flooded. And it destroyed so many people's washers and dryers, especially the dryers. Because if the water gets to a certain amount, it gets in the dryer and the dryer's just shut. And these are, you know what I've always thought about with the washer and dryer being in the basement on all these houses on the south end, is that when the basements flood, that's water. And your dryer, especially, which I think is a lot higher voltage than your washer, is plugged in. Now, who would want to go down there with these things plugged in and water all over the floor? Go ahead, caller.
You know what I've always thought about? Well, the most I've ever had in my basement is about 4 inches. But up the street from me, north of me, they've had up to a foot of water. And we noticed it most when they closed off or when they redid the sewers on Forest Lawn Boulevard and Pennsylvania Avenue. And then last fall, we had another flooding, another 4 inches. I was worried because I had baseboard heating in the basement. And if it gets into that baseboard heating, then you get an electrical fire.
Well, that, you know,
fortunately, it never got that high.
Well, I mean, do you still worry that it could get that high?
Well, I had to worry about the baseboard heating anymore because I changed my heating system. I went to a heat pump. But I still don't want the water. You got to stop it all off, and then you got to run fans and everything to get everything dried out. It's a mess.
Well, do you ever put any? I mean, what do you use the basement for when you know that it floods?
That's where my man cave is.
Oh. So,
but I'd fall asleep in the lazy boy, and I'd wake up in the morning, and my feet would be wet.
So
that's not good, because when I still had the baseboard heating, I could have got electrocuted.
Right, and that's not pleasant, clean water that's going through there.
No, no. And then the last one that I had, I have a plug in the basement drain in the laundry room, and it popped the plug out of there and was spouting up out of the basement. But there was where we get the runoff from two streets up, we're lower, and it runs off of there into the backyard and then into the house. It was coming through the walls and through the floor because the sewers couldn't handle it. It was pouring like a river, and the sewers just couldn't handle it. So,
now, do you have a sump pump?
Well, I got a sump pump was running like crazy, and I had a lift pump in the side yard pumping about 25 gallons a minute. I suppose I pumped a couple thousand gallons out of that. But it was a mess.
An absolute mess. You know, and why do you think this is? Because all these basements over here on the south end have the same problem.
Well, I think the sewer system is too small. I see they've been going around with that back all, and they've been cleaning out a lot of the sewers, and that might help some.
We can only hope.
They got sticks and stems and all that stuff and leaves in the sewers. And I shouldn't say that, because on the north end of our street, they put new sewers in, new water lines, new gas lines, and they had a foot last fall. No.
Well, you know what? I've just heard
nothing
this.
Nothing changed.
No. Well, hey, thanks for calling in.
All right.
Bye-bye. Yeah, you know, I've heard that story so often. Give me a buzz, though, because even when you have a sump pump, which is pumping out tons of water, and also other items of that nature, for some reason, it still cannot keep up with these basements on the south end of town. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And you know, I've heard these stories time and time again from people who have either bought houses on the south end or have rented houses on the south end, and they are always told the basement's safe, don't worry about it, it never floods, it's a dry basement, and when you get a significant amount of rain, which most summers does happen, and then you have those odd times where you get a really large amount of rain or a large amount of snow, the basement floods. And everything you have down there is ruined. And I have heard people go through that time and time and time again. And they lose their things from school. And they lose their mementos. And the washer and dryers get destroyed. I mean, it really is an unfortunate thing. And I would like to know, has anybody ever had this happen? Has anybody ever had a big issue with a basement on the south end of town where it's flooded and you've lost everything? I know I have heard these stories. Or have you put something down in your basement, created a room, like our caller said there, and here came the rain, and you're down there watching your basement flood, and you've got all your furniture down there, and you've got your electronics down there, and nothing you can do about it when that basement starts to flood, even though you've got the sump pump, and even though you've got the other means of water trying to keep it clean down there. 740-383-9944, talking about the, and I'm not sure, I can't remember, but I was told one time that it either had something to do, I believe it probably is the sewer system, that is not just good. Go ahead, caller.
We're not on the south end, we're on the east end.
Oh, you're
we're
on the east end.
Mount Vernon Avenue.
Oh, so there's problems over on Mount Vernon as well.
Oh, yeah. It runs from, like, Grand Avenue over, because it's higher than we are, and it'll run downhill. And It runs to our sewers, but our sewers can't handle it. Yeah. And you get it in the basement.
Now, is your washer and dryer in the basement?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I soon hope it won't be. We're going to move it upstairs.
That's always a good move. Now, have you ever had any problems with those in the floods?
No, I haven't.
That's good.
Like I said, most I've got has been about 4 inches, and the motors and stuff is higher than that, so no, I haven't had any problem.
Well, that's good.
The furnace is higher than that, too, so.
All right. Well, thanks for calling.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye. Well, yeah, so there you go. Over on the east end, there are also problems. But I particularly hear these things over on the south end. And I don't know why that is. But I always had, and I as time goes on here telling this story, I think it always had more to do with the sewer system. That there was something about the sewer system in Marion that caused this problem. So has anybody had these problems? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz. Have you ever had a basement flood over on the south end of town? Or anywhere else in Marion, for that matter, if you have a basement. I just don't understand why the washer and the dryer were put in the basement. Because the dryer is such high voltage. And if you get that wet, obviously it's going to be plugged in. Now you've got water and electric together. And people go down there traipsing in the water. And it can really be a mess. A big, big mess. Now, also, I wonder if there's anybody out there listening who has a basement in the Marion area that has never flooded, because that would be a rarity. Most people I know have had the basement floods. Is there anybody who has no trouble with their basement, no matter the amount of water that falls? 740-383-9944. Here we are on this rainy day. What a good day to talk about this. On a nice rainy day. Hopefully you've got your eye on your basement this morning. You know, I've been doing some research. Well, actually, I did it before we came over to the new office. On some things in Marion history. Like the Gypsy Queen. I have some stuff in this folder. It's a black folder I've had here that I have really not gotten into yet. Some stuff on the Gypsy Queen. Some stuff on, let's see here. Well, the Gypsy Queen stories are interesting because these were written at the time that that was all going on. I have some things here from the 1950s and 60s when it comes to the Douse Dance Studios and some big things that were going on with them. The Y-Men. I found this story on the Y-Men, which I'm going to get into here one morning. I think it's a very interesting story. I have some stories here about some wrestling events that used to get mainstream coverage. Pro wrestling is what I'm talking about. Used to get mainstream coverage in the newspaper back in the late 60s, which I think is kind of neat. Some stories on the history of radio here as well. Now, these stories on the history of radio really, to me, are fascinating. Then I have there's some things here on Madge Cooper and Charlie Evers and Marianne Michaels. And then there's some things here on Mary Ellen Withrow that were done when she ascended to the Treasurer of the United States. And then there are some stories about the opening of the radio station, WMRN, which has been more than, 80 years ago. They're fun little stories because, you know, they have been so long ago now that probably everybody who might have been around when these were going on are either gone or were very young when this was all being done. I mean, these were the 1940s, 1950s. You know, that's a little while ago. And also, I found the story here, I believe somewhere, on the death of the founder of Broadcast in Marion, Robert T. Mason. Did anybody out there know Bob Mason? According to this, Bob died in 1966. Maybe I'll read his obituary here, maybe in the next hour, if I can pull it out of here. It was front page news when Bob Mason died, the founder of Broadcast in Marion. The founder of WMRN, I guess we'd say. But he was here till 66, died in 1966. Did anybody ever have any run-ins with Bob Mason? Apparently, he was a guy who was very much out in the community. They called him Mr. Radio. I think it says that in the obituary. But apparently, he had a driver and a big house in town. But didn't start out that way. In the beginning, it started out as a very kind of a meager business for Bob Mason. But did anybody ever know Bob Mason or have any interactions with him? 740-383-9944. I'll tell you somebody else who I was thinking about over the weekend. How much time do we have left here in this hour? About 4 minutes. You know, there was a lady who used to work at the Marion Star. And she was very, very, very good. Ruth Green. And last I knew, Ruth is still around, still with us. And at one point, I was told by the person who took care of her yard that she did listen to the program. So if Ruth is out there, I hope she's doing well. And I think Ruth retired from the Marion Star probably in the early 90s, it would have been. But I've seen Ruth around many times, and I've asked her to come on and do an interview, and she's just a little, I think she's a little mic shy, which I can understand, a lot of people are. But Ruth, what she saw in her career in newspapers, working at the Marion Star, leaving in the 90s, and I'm not sure when she would have started, but I'm guessing somewhere probably in the 50s or 60s. But does anybody know how Ruth is doing? I have not heard or seen anything from her in a while. Ruth Green. This is kind of like our Friday mystery as we were looking for Don Fleming. By the way, did anybody find anything on Don Fleming? We did that all Friday morning, and then we did that last Friday night as well. And we had conflicting reports. The first report we had was that Don Fleming, somebody had went to school with Don Fleming and said he was probably in his late 70s or early 80s. They did not know if he was still with us. And then the next caller said that they knew Don, but they believed Don had passed away. And then I think Adam called in and said that he had searched Don out and that Don was 82 and he was still alive. There was no obituary for him. And the reason I ask about Don is when I started covering city council and county commissioners, he used to be down there all the time. So we'd love to hear from Don if he is still around. I hope he is still around. I hope he's doing well. His wife, I believe her name was Rita. I hope she's still doing well. So any information on the Don Fleming search? We have found so many people on this program, but Don Fleming apparently has been a tough one. Any information on Don Fleming or Ruth Green or any run-ins with Bob Mason, the founder of WMRN? Give me a buzz here, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I'm guessing by now somebody has went to Don Fleming and said, they're talking about you on this radio station. But maybe he doesn't know where to call. Or maybe he doesn't know where we are on the dial. So if you have any more updates on Don Fleming or Ruth Green, I hope Ruth is doing well. I know Ruth would be up in years now, but last time I saw her, as I said, she was doing very well. Who else do we have? Well, Bob Mason. We know Bob has left us. Bob left us back in the 60s, but does anybody have any reminiscences of Bob Mason, the founder of broadcasting here in Marion? Well, think about Don Fleming, think about Ruth Green, and think about Bob Mason. We're going to take a break here for news and weather, and we'll come back in 15 minutes and talk some more. Stay tuned.
You know, you could come in handy, too, with that electricity if we have problems with our transmitter, which is above you. Yeah. All you'd have to do is raise your hands and energize our transmitter.
To formerly of WNCI, Weasel Boy, is that true? I've never asked that question on air before, by the way, but...
I can tell with it.
I wasn't even sure how to word it.
When the way your arms got going, I forgot.
You've
never asked anybody that question.
I wouldn't even know. To 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. Do you think he needed her after that primary election?
Yes, and I think I go back to Abraham Lincoln when it's you bring your enemies close.
That was... Mm-hmm. Had you ever seen a primary like that in your life?
You mean Abraham Lincoln?
You weren't there for that one. You weren't there for that one.
I read the book.
Hillary and Obama. WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com.
Hey everybody, it's Pastor Steve Whitaker from the Pastor Spot. We are on every Tuesday at 5:15 and replay again